It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Happy Monday. I am Kim Munson. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Podcasts of the shows are all on that website. And be sure and go over to Facebook and like us as well. We'd greatly appreciate that. We've got a great show planned for you today. And be sure and check out our new little podcast that we're doing. Again, that's at the website, Headlines for Hope. The story that we last published was George Washington, Divine Providence, and the Battle of Brooklyn. It's a great story. So happy Monday, Steve. How you doing, Producer Steve?
I thought my name was Eeyore.
Oh, some days it is. But that was a great podcast. Are you liking these little headlines of hope?
I am. And, well, again, we've discussed it a time or two, the fact that you're drawing on all these wartime, whether it be Revolutionary War, World War One, World War Two situations. There's that immediately grabs me, and then you inevitably pull out the story of hope. So they're great.
Well, so be sure and check that out. That's over at kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. So today we'll go through some headlines in this first segment. Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado will be calling in regarding some of the legislation that's been proposed down there that probably needs to go away. And so we'll talk about that. And then Brad Beck has done a really excellent op-ed. It's My Front Porch. And we'll be talking with Brad in the third and fourth segment. He is one of the co-founders of Liberty Toastmasters and really is out there helping people with their leadership skills, being able to communicate. We are engaged, if you didn't notice, in a big battle of ideas out there. And so we need to understand the issues and be able to communicate them in an effective and persuasive manner. And that's one of the things we work on this show as well. Ultimately, these issues come down to freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if you didn't think that was the case, with this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing going on, we have seen bureaucrats and politicians and interested parties that seem that they're almost drunk on power right now. And as we walk through this, and each day the sun comes up, we're walking through this, it'll be a new norm. But we need to make sure that we pull this back as far as these people that have been taking power that really is pretty unconstitutional. So ultimately, we have seen, though, socialism ultimately comes down to force. If something is a really good idea, you should be able to engage in the battle of ideas and persuade people. But socialism ultimately comes down to force. And we're seeing what happens with socialism. It is shortages of product, empty shelves at the market, PBIs using their force to tell one person what they could do, another person another, picking winners and losers. And that is totally antithetical to the American idea. And so it's very important that we continue to talk about these issues. Steve, I wanted to add another quote in to, I think about on a regular basis. And that is that Rudyard Kipling quote that I used, I think, last week. He said, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." And as we look at these headlines, we're going to be looking at them within the context of those questions. Instead of blindly saying, oh, the experts are correct on everything, we're starting to see inconsistencies. And so I think it's important, my friends, as you're looking at these issues, what, why, when, how, where, and who. And I think we'll be better off if we do that. Always want to say thank you to the team, to Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for all of your hard work. And to each of you listeners, you're valued, you're treasured, you have a purpose. Strive for excellence today. Take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. Do something productive today. Be industrious. Don't just continue to look at the headlines, sit in front of your computer and look at the bad news. Do something positive today. And our quote, now, a couple of things on this, Steve. Since we're talking about the front porch, I was looking for front porch quotes. And John Sarah said, I return to my front porch to find a place where the air smells sweeter and the sun feels warmer than of any other bend in life's long road. And I thought that was a real sweet quote. So I was trying to find out who John Saras was, and I don't think this is the same guy, but I thought it was kind of interesting. This guy lived from 1580 to 1643, and he was a chief merchant. His name's John Saras, was the chief merchant on the first English voyage to Japan, which left London in 1611. He stopped at Yemen, missing India, and going on to Java, which had the sole permanent English trading station in Asia. Saras had spent more than 5 years before as a merchant, having gone with the East India Company, his second voyage under Henry Middleton. He became chief factor there, but returned to London in 1610. Now arrived again in 1612, Saras decided to send his other ships home, taking just one, the Clove, onto Japan, where it arrived in the summer of 1613. I just thought that was really fascinating. I think sometimes we forget kind of these adventures, these voyagers, and I don't think they're the same guy, but I thought it was an interesting correlation between the two, Steve.
My hat's off to anybody who attempted to navigate the globe back in those times. I mean, who's to say that you could find, you know, leave point A, go to point B, maybe get back to point A again, maybe, and then try it again and have the same results. I need to know more, I guess, teach myself how they navigated in those days. But it just amazes me.
Yeah, they didn't have GPS back then. They figured it out. So it's pretty fascinating. Okay, are you ready for the funnies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, he said tentatively.
Aha. A man and his wife are sitting in the living room when he turns to her and says, just so you know, I never want to live in a vegetative state dependent on some machine. If that ever happens, just pull the plug. So his wife went over and unplugged the television set.
I want to tell you that hits pretty close to home at our house, but it's not me.
Oh.
It's not me.
Okay, I want to jump in here. And again, my friends, we're looking at this as what, why, when, how, where, and who. Now, we've heard quite a bit about this potential treatment, not a cure, but a treatment for the COVID-19 Wuhan virus. It's this hydrocortisone. And there's something that is so interesting. Trump has been touting this as a possible treatment. But then I saw a headline that said, and look at this headline, Steve, and this is where we need to start to ask these questions. This is from, I think it was originally from Newsweek. It says, Trump says he favors unproven drug combination over ventilators. Do you see what the key word is there? Unproven. And the reason I bring that up is this hydrochloroquine, is my understanding, it has been on the market for quite some time. It is an anti-malarial drug, as well as it is a treatment for lupus. So I would say certainly we know what the effects of this particular drug are. Now, granted, it has not gone through any testing for COVID-19, but COVID-19, Wuhan virus, just arrived on the scene. So there is not time for, quote unquote, to prove it. But we have seen that it has had some very good results given to people that have COVID-19 Wuhan virus and are in pretty significant distress, health distress. And apparently they've had very good results from getting people off ventilators with this. And so one has to question, first of all, that headline. And second of all, why people would not want to be all in to try to come up with a treatment that actually helps people. And in fact, I think it was a headline we hit last week, Andrew Cuomo had actually done an executive order in New York saying people could not use this for COVID-19 Wuhan virus. And so one has to ask why. So Steve, is this starting to connect some dots that maybe this narrative out there is being manipulated a little bit?
Well, as more time goes by, the opportunity for that line of thinking gets greater and greater, because there's just a lot of things that don't measure up, line up. Granted, we're in a kind of an accelerated pace here where decisions are being made quickly in response to different things. It's almost like, you know, the forest fire where the ashes get blown ahead of the main fire, and all of a sudden now there's smaller fires out in front of the main one, and you got to deal with it. And again, as these situations arise and the decisions are being made left and right, there's many times where they just don't seem to line up. And again, we want to know every time that the decision is made that it was the absolute right thing at the moment. And maybe at the moment it was, but a week or later it wasn't so good. But it's only time that tells us that.
Right. We're going to be able to look in the rearview mirror, and we're going to be able to see these people that have actually taken power. And one of my World War II veterans had shared this quote with me. It says, "Power does not corrupt the man, it unmasks the man." And so when we look right here in Colorado, last week, the city of Denver went and padlocked the doors of appliance factory because they deemed it as a non-essential business. But yet one has to question, you know, why is, for example, you know, the marijuana stores or the liquor stores or all those, why are they considered an essential business, but appliance factory is not? Or Hobby Lobby is not considered an essential business, but that's a place where there's fabric, where people could go get fabric and they could make masks to cover their faces. So one has to ask, why can we not be creative? Maybe with appliance factory, you only let a certain amount of people into the store at a time. People may need freezers so that they can, freeze food as we may be continue through this COVID-19 thing. So why did Mayor Hancock, why do they pick winners and losers? And as we walk through this, we're going to look in the rearview mirror. And at that point, my friends, we need to be very calm, because I think I'm going to be a little hot about some of these decisions that were made. But we need to calmly bring this information forward. And I was talking with someone last week back in Pennsylvania, and I mentioned this thing about the hydrochloroquine that has had good success on a treatment for the COVID-19 Wuhan virus. She said, "I had not heard of that." And so we need to take a look at this country. I think instead of people pulling together, there's people that's trying to tear down the narrative. And that goes to the next headline that we have here, that the governors, many of these Democrat governors in these states that are having real problems with COVID-19 Wuhan virus, headline, "Governors warn of dire ventilator shortages as virus pandemic rages. Trump says some are playing politics." And again, once again, Andrew Cuomo, and I don't know if you saw that montage that was put together where he was talking about the shortage of ventilators and how concerned he was about the shortage of ventilators. And then finally, in another report, a reporter asked him about ventilators that supposedly were in warehouses in New York, and he acknowledged, "Oh yes, we have them, and we just don't need them right now." So, my friends, that's why we're asking these questions. Why are they doing this? Why are they not shooting straight with us? And as we walk through this, we're going to look back in the rearview mirror, and we're going to be able to hold these people accountable for the words that they've said. And if, in fact, they've been trying to whip up fear in everyday hardworking people in order to use their power to control them, I think the veil will be off. And I think I'm very positive about it, that we're going to see what really happens. The truth will win out on this, Steve.
Yeah, I guess right now our duty is to be, I hate to use the word because I can't think of any other word, journaling every day what's happening, governmental response to this situation. And then once the situation goes back to status quo, whenever that is, then we start looking at these things and measuring their effectiveness, their motivation, you know, you name it. It needs to be put under the proverbial microscope.
Definitely. One other thing I want to mention before we go to break, this was from Colorado Politics. The state has been you know, talking about the different modeling that they've been using as they've been making decisions. And people have asked for that actual data, and they haven't been as speedy in giving that data as one would actually hope that they would be. So once again, this is another question. The data is there. It seems that you could release that immediately to the public. And so continue to connect these dots. And again, ask these questions when we're talking with people. What, why, when, how, where, and who? So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Sue Moore about some things that they seemed pretty goofy to me before we had COVID-19 Wuhan virus. But now we look at them, they're downright dumb. And that is why we should probably not pass these pieces of legislation down to the State House. So this is Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. We will be right back with Sue Moore.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. And every day during April at noon, we're recommending, per Aaron Will, great idea to play God Bless the USA. Certainly, we ask for his favor. This is an amazing week. This is Holy Week, which is a really important time in the Christian holiday. And so it's just a good thing to ask for God's blessings upon our country. On the line with me is Sue Moore. She is with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado, and she's got a team that has been going through legislation as it was being proposed and actually rating it. At this particular point in time, the legislature is in temporary adjournment. But that gives us time to look at some of these very bad bills. There's some business burdening bills out there. Sue Moore, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. Glad to be here.
We know it's Monday when Sue Moore's on.
That's right. So, usually we're looking at new bills as they're coming through the legislature. But the last few weeks, obviously, they're on hiatus. So we're kind of going back through bills and picking some bills that we think should die in committee as soon as they come back into session. These are just bad bills, badly timed bills, obviously, in light of all this coronavirus crisis. And so this past week, we went through and picked 10 bills that we think should die in committee. Basically, because once businesses get back up and running, many of which will probably not reopen, we want to see them thrive to the extent possible. So we went through and picked some bills that we think are really bad for business, and we think we would love to see these things die in committee. So I'm ready to go when you are.
Okay, let's start.
All right. So let's start with. House Bill 1155, the higher efficiency for new residential construction. We've talked about this a little bit in the past, but this is a bill that requires a builder to include in a new home, include either a solar panel system or a solar thermal system, and or to pre-wire or pre-plumb for that. So that's something that builders have to do now. What they're adding to this now is that they have to offer both of those packages, the solar panel system and a solar thermal system. And adding to that, they have to include an electric vehicle charging system. So, you know, every new home has to have this. It increases costs to the builder. It increases the price of a home. So it's going to be a job killer. It's going to, you know, put a damper on the construction industry. It's just a bad idea anyway, but it's a particularly bad idea right now. So we'd like to see that one die as soon as possible.
Well, and it has the force words in there. The force words require, must.
Exactly.
Those are the things you look for. Okay.
You know, and not every homeowner needs or even wants an electric vehicle. So why require that in a new home? It just doesn't make any sense. So
right.
Another one is House Bill 1226, food safety and quality labeling. You know, there are a lot of little cottage industries, people making their own salsa, people making their own pickles, whatever. And when you do that, you are required to put a use-by date on that product. You see it all the time when you buy these things at the grocery store. Lisa Cutter, a Democrat sponsor, wants to also include an elevated risk date. So not only, you know, I guess they assume that we're too stupid to know that, you know, if you don't eat it by the use-by date, it may not be great, but now you have to have an elevated risk date on that product. So, you know, there are 2,000 food manufacturers in the state of Colorado. So to add requirements to that, especially at a time like this, just doesn't make any sense. So that's a silly bill that we would love to see die in committee as soon as possible. Okay. There's another one called the Eliminate Sub-Minimum Wage Employment. You know, grocery stores, small businesses hire the developmentally disabled and physically disabled at rates low under the minimum wage. It's a great stepping stone. It's an opportunity for people like this. There are certain people in our legislature that would like to eliminate sub-minimum wage. We think that's just a horrible thing. What it's really going to do is kill these jobs. So that's House Bill 1263. House Bill 1315 is a carpooling service internet application. You actually have to, use an app to carpool, which apparently a lot of people do. They're requiring you now to register with the government to do that. They want to limit the number of passengers that you can take every day. They want to limit the amount that you can charge a user, and they also want to limit the number of round trips that a driver can make. So they're really punishing people for trying to do the right thing. They're trying to carpool, save money, keep cars off the road. And now the government swoops in and wants to make sure that you register that carpooling service. So,
and just a question, you know, the government has been in the business of trying to get people to carpool. You know, we've seen government buy vehicles. They advertise, you know, hey, ride with us. So it seems like in a way they're trying to tap down on a more creative competition to something the government does. And, it just isn't government's proper role on that. So, yeah,
no,
that's
absolutely not. Yeah, they're trying to provide a service. They're trying to do the right thing. And government says, no, you can't do that without our permission. So, that's House Bill 1315.
Wow.
There's House Bill 1337, which is the Automobiler Recyclers Licensing Act. And it's basically the government wanting to police junkyard dealers. They want them to register with the government. They want them to renew a license every 2 years. In order to be one of these automobile recyclers, you have to be of good moral character. I don't even know how
that.
Exactly. Yeah. So obviously they want to charge fees. They want to impose
fines, penalties,
fines, of course. And, you know, as part of this registration, they want you to keep permanent daily records of vehicles, equipment, attachments, accessories, and appurtenances that you are keeping in stock. So there's a whole lot of record keeping, and
these
are junkyards. These are small business owners for the most part, and again, it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
No.
Just control. Power control.
More control. Okay. Well, and speaking of control, there's House Bill 1343, the Egg Laying Hen Confinement Standards Bill. So. By 2022, you would be required to provide 1 square foot per hen of storage. And then by 2024, they want a completely cage-free environment with 1 square foot per hen, plus unfettered vertical space. So they want to eliminate these cages. They want a totally cage-free environment per hen. It's almost as if they're more concerned with the, you know, the life of a hen than they are with people. Again, a lot of these egg layers are small businesses, and it just doesn't make any sense to impose more.
Well, and, you know, this was proposed before the Wuhan virus COVID-19 thing. But now that people are going to the store and they're like, will there be enough eggs? Is there going to be toilet paper? You know, is something like this is going to, A, increase the cost and probably reduce the supply of eggs. And so no matter what side of the political aisle you're on, I think you should say, yeah, and you just brought it up, which is more important, a hen or a person? That's kind of the question on the table on that, Sue.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They all have their agendas, and, you know, these are probably backed by PETA people, and they want to make sure that our hens are happy and well cared for. And that's all fine and good until we run out of eggs and people aren't eating. So moving on, the House Bill 1354, the Film Production Income Tax Credit. And this has been in the works since, I think, about 2012. There's a film, I forget what you call it, but some kind of film industry. They want to promote movie making in Colorado, bring in, you know, big Hollywood movie producers and have them film their movies in Colorado. So this provides a tax credit of up to 22% of the total qualified local expenditures. So, you know, they're promoting the film industry, some Colorado or California folks over, you know, local state-owned, you know, agriculture, ranchers.
Right. So movie stars are going to get, so at this legislature is proposing that movie stars get a tax break, but somebody that is actually one, a farmer or rancher out there or small business that's providing eggs, they get dinged, but the big movie stars are getting a tax break. So again, just connect the dots, my friends, at what this legislature has been proposing, right?
Yeah, you've okay. Got it, Kim. You nailed that one on the head. Senate Bill 108, landlord prohibitions tenant. Prohibiting landlords from asking tenants about their immigration status. Now, you know, I actually own some rental properties and I manage them myself. And I can tell you that my first priority is finding tenants who I know will have the ability to pay their rent every month. I've never asked anyone about their immigration status, but as a property owner, you should have the right to ask almost,
you should be able to ask those questions. Okay. Steve, did we lose her? Okay. Hopefully we'll get her back, but I'm just going to run through those very quickly. And yes, as a landlord, you should be able to, determine who you're going to rent your property to. The other two that she had on there was Senate Bill 2121, which is managing gray wolves in Colorado. There's a bill that would reintroduce gray wolves into Colorado, which could really, again, affect our farming and ranching communities. And just think about it. As you're going to the store, do you like to see that there is meat in the meat counter for you to purchase? Well, if gray wolves are reintroduced into Colorado, it is going to have a detrimental effect on our farmers and ranchers and getting meat on the table. So that's an important one. And then the last one is Senate Bill 2138, the Consumer Protection Construction Defect Time Period. Once again, we had seen the legislature had passed legislation, the construction defects legislation, which basically had closed down the condo business. And condos were a way for young people to start to get equity, to be able to buy something and have some equity instead of just throwing their money down on rent. And we had legislation that basically dried up the condo market. And then the Realtor Association, we've had Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance on, the Realtor Association had worked really diligently to try to come to an agreement that would work both for the builders as well as for the people that would be buying condos. Well, this particular legislation would come in and would, again, make it more difficult for builders, which ultimately increases the price, pushes people into apartments instead of being able to buy their own property. So those are very important things to keep an eye on. And we lost Sue Moore. Apologies on that. But Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado is doing a heck of a job on this. And it's Monday morning. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Kim. So, well, we've got a couple of, I guess, good things this morning. One is the futures are up about 700 points, so we should at least get a decent start to the day, it looks like. Also, Thursday, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but we did get a follow-through day on the market on the S&P. It did it by the thinnest of margins, so I think it's a little bit suspect, but it did occur. We got a day up over 2% with heavier volume than the previous day. You know, a lot of the stocks that that led the way were oil stocks that have been beaten into the ground, mm-hmm. and you'd rather have it kind of be some of the leading stocks. But by the definition, we did get that on Thursday, and I know we've been looking for it. So that's the first part of the good news. And then I have a little bit more, too.
I love some good news. What is it?
So legislation, you guys are, you and Sue are talking about the parts that are bad. It isn't always all bad. And with this, there's been some waivers for IRAs and 401k plans. So the first thing with IRAs is that your required minimum distribution for 2020 is waived. If you don't want to take your RMD, you're not required to. And also, although it's a little bit behind for this, folks whose RMD started in 2019 who delayed that very first one to April 1st, they're not required to take that one either. So okay. Here's one of the things that's interesting, though. If you already took your required minimum distribution for the year, Kim, and you only took it because the rules forced you to, you can roll it back in within 60 days. Within 60 days of the time you took the RMD and, you know, get rid of the distribution and get rid of any taxes you would have incurred. So if you took it within the last 60 days and you only did it because the rule said you have to, you do have some relief there. It may make sense to go ahead and roll it back in and skip it for this year.
Gosh. Okay. Well, there is some good news on that. And you know, Jason, everything is changing so quickly that if people have questions about these kinds of things, their retirement, their IRAs, their 401ks, Roth IRAs, you know, just what that looks like, I'd suggest they give you the guys and gals at Presidential Wealth Management a call.
Well, I think it's a good idea. We do have some decent knowledge. We have some folks that have been in the business for an awfully long time. As this COVID-19 proves, you should never say you've seen everything because you certainly haven't. But we've seen a lot of things and can probably be very helpful for you, especially if you don't have anybody else to lean on. And now you're realizing maybe it would be good to have a steady hand or some guidance with your investments. So, yes, give us a call, 303-694-1600. Again, you don't have to talk to me. We've got all kinds of very smart and fine advisors, fine men and women that work for Presidential, and any of our advisors are more than willing and more than able to offer assistance.
So again, that number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, or you can go to AIR Presidential, that's AIRPresidential.com, and reach Jason and the guys and gals at Presidential that way. So thanks so much, Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Brad Beck about his front porch. He's got one of the best-looking front porches around, so we'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter as well. All kinds of great information, and you get it first there. So Brad Beck, though, good friend of mine, he is the co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, and he's written a really, really great op-ed about his front porch. Brad Beck, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Kim. Did you see the moon this morning?
I did not.
Oh, my goodness. It was gorgeous, and I was just fortunate to see it. It was just full, and it shined. Every morning I get up early and take a walk, and I almost didn't need my headlamp when I walked this morning.
Wow. Well, I was up early. I don't know why I didn't look out the window. I was just, I guess, busy here, Brad, but always busy on a Monday morning as we get ready for the show. But, you know, with all this that's going on out there, the COVID-19 Wuhan virus, you know, it's a great time to stop and reflect. And you sent me a picture of your front porch, and It just seems so peaceful to me. Tell us about your op-ed, though.
Well, I wanted to do something a little different because the news can get you down. There's so much negative. We're all trying to find out information about this particular situation we find ourselves in. And I wanted to illuminate to at least myself in this article that I wrote was, you know, what's important in times of uncertainty. I think you have to go back to what you know is certain. And I live in a really unique neighborhood. I'm fortunate to live up in Erie, Colorado. I live on the Boulder County side, but I'm two blocks from the county line, so I can peer into freedom from my house. And what's neat about that is that, you know, it's an imaginary line. It's a line in my mind and other people's mind of what Boulder County is. And I live in a community of semi-custom homes. They're all unique, but they're mainly Victorians and federal style and craftsmen. So it's really eclectic, and every house has and is encouraged to have three colors on it. So I live in a purple Victorian. And as you can imagine, when I first told my parents I live in a purple house, what neighborhood are you living in? But I grew up in Southern California, so I had a whole different mindset. But it's a house that has a lot of character. I call it my purple painted lady. We all name our houses around here, and I call it Grapeland, kind of a homage to Elvis. And the porch is much like a smile on somebody's face. A porch to a house is an extension of your home. And I love my porch because I can sit there and talk to neighbors and wave to people and have the opportunity to live my life on my front porch. And I love being outside. So it's a great opportunity every, especially on weekends, but on Sundays in particular, I'll go out on my porch and have a beverage and usually read one of my books that I'm into and have a Belvedere, otherwise known as a cigar, and hold court, if you will. Sometimes friends will come over. A lot of times neighbors will walk by. There's a joke in my neighborhood, you don't get about three houses past your own during the summer without being invited up to have a glass of wine or some other beverage. But it really is an opportunity to slow down. To a lot of people these days are not as religious as they once were. And I find that whether it's sports or religion or some other entity that people gather at, they can drop all their political differences and then come together and find some common ground. And I think in our divided political arena these days, we really do have a crisis of our house divided. And, of course, Harry Jaffa wrote that great book about it. And our friend Tom Cranwitter wrote actually a book called Crisis of Our House Divided as a guide on how to talk to each other and listen rather than talking past each other. And front porches give you an opportunity to look somebody in the eye and listen and try to understand their perspective. It's also a great place to just have fun, have friends over and gatherings. I've had picnics, if you will, with fried chicken that my wife has made. She makes the best fried chicken anywhere. And, you know, you can do political gatherings, playful just parties. We've had some pretty putrid joke telling. You know, it's just a fun place to have the opportunity to reflect, to talk, to listen, to be with others. And I think most people, they drive into their garages, they go in their house, and then they go on the back patio, if they go out at all. And that's unfortunate because our front porches were places for so long that created community. They were part of the fabric of our community, and they allowed us to have that opportunity to connect with people. I bet you most people don't know the neighbor two doors down from each other. They probably just have no idea who lives in the neighborhood. And besides walking my neighborhood every morning, I make sure that I know people in my neighborhood. I stop and talk to people. I wave with all five fingers. And I think we need to do more of that. Otherwise, we end up in a situation where it's us versus them. And that's not a bad, good place to be. It's very bad.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you would talk about your front porch. My next door neighbor during the summer kind of does the same thing as far as he's out on the front porch and there's a table. And many times when I would drive home from the studio, there would be different neighbors sitting out there, cup of coffee, dogs having treats. And he really does know our neighbors. And so if I need to know something about a neighbor, I ask him, Brad.
Well, you know, just by observation, you can sit there and see the world unfold. I can see the mailmen bringing mail, so I know when the mail's delivered. I can see my neighbors who come across. We have a community mailbox, and wave to them. Oftentimes, strangers will be driving by in our neighborhood, and they'll kind of gawk because, again, our neighborhood is unique, as many people would claim, but a lot of folks come by our neighborhood to look at the variety of homes that are in the neighborhood, and they'll stop, and then they'll realize, oh, my goodness, there's somebody on the porch, and they'll kind of give me a little wave, and I'll wave back, and sometimes they roll down the window, and they'll ask about the neighborhood. And what's interesting is those people that tend to find a house in the neighborhood and come back and move in and do their first loop around the community, walking around or with their kids or whatever, they'll stop and say, you were the guy that smiled at me, or you were the guy that talked to me and told me about this neighborhood, and we ended up buying in here because it seemed so friendly. And I think that is sorely missed today. I think people are too busy creating these tribes of a political separation rather than coming together and finding those opportunities where people can really understand each other. They may not agree, which is fine. But in Arnold Kling's book, The Three Languages of Politics, he talks about these tribes and the different axes of a progressive, a conservative, a libertarian. And we all look through certain lenses, and these lenses often jade our perspective of our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers. And if we have a little better understanding, we may, again, not agree with them, but at least we understand where they're coming from. And I think that starts a dialogue, or at least it starts a place of understanding, rather than what we get into today, which is marginalizing the other side just because of who they are.
Well, you know, it is so important to have these conversations, and we're going to go to a break. Before we do that, though, seeing pictures of your front porch, there's, you know, isn't it the Painted Ladies? It's the Victorian homes in San Francisco. There's a whole group of them painted a variety of different colors. So I imagine that your house is a cousin of those, right?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Yeah, the San Francisco is gorgeous, and I love walking around the architecture. And if you saw my neighborhood, you would say, yep, it reminds me of that kind of area.
Okay, great. Let's go to break. When we come back, Brad, it is so important for us to communicate with each other, to be able to state what we believe in a persuasive manner. And so let's go to break. And when we come back, let's talk a bit about Liberty Toastmasters and just what you've seen there, because you're one of the co-founders. So we'll be right back.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouth-watering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Hey, Brad, before we talk about Liberty Toastmasters, you appreciate musicians. You actually, well, are you a musician or did you just travel with the band? How did that
work?
I
was a roadie in a country western band called Rick Tucker and the Good Time Band, and we actually recorded an album with the great Norman Petty, who did all the Buddy Holly early albums. We went to Clovis, New Mexico, and back in the day, I had long hair and a beard and a mustache, and I was known as the kosher cowboy. Everybody had a handle, so yeah, it was a different life ago.
Well, the reason I mentioned that is I actually saw Lee Greenwood perform that song right about when it came out. And I'm not saying what year that was, Steve, he asked, and I know that would date me, but I actually saw him perform that. And actually it was at the Coliseum. It was Lee Greenwood, Ronnie Millsap, Merle Haggard, and I can't remember who else it was. It was quite the evening for sure. So I love country music. So, okay, but let's talk about Liberty Toastmasters. You and I've been a member of Liberty Toastmasters for quite some time. I have to tell you, the first time that I got up to speak at Table Topics, my knees were really just knocking together. I mean, I was so nervous. I can't even tell you about it. And you have helped, you and the other founders of Liberty Toastmasters have helped a lot of people find their voices and kind of move beyond where they thought they could be. So let's talk a little bit about that, Brad.
Well, it's one of my favorite subjects, as you know, Kim. And one of the beautiful things about Toastmasters in general is it takes people who are fearful of public speaking and turns them into what I call fabulous. They go from fear to fabulous because if they just show up, they see and they can face their apprehension about getting up in front of people. And I always laugh when people say, well, I'm so fearful of getting up in front of folks. And I said, okay, I can understand that. I said, usually when I'll have coffee with somebody, I'll say, what's the difference between what I'm doing now, and then I'll stand up, and when I speak to you? We're still speaking. We're having a conversation. And the beautiful part about Toastmasters is that people can get up. They're in a fun, friendly, safe environment where people aren't criticizing what they're saying, the content, but they're helpful in giving them critique and feedback that gets them to a place where they're comfortable, they can articulate certain ideas, they can talk about things in a way that is very friendly, fun, and gets people thinking about how I can better communicate to my family, my friends, at work, if they're into public policy issues. It really gets people comfortable in their own skin to talking to other people, whether it's two people or 2,000.
Well, and, you know, as we're coming through this time in our country. We're going to have a new normal when we come out on the other side. And I see, like your piece regarding the front porch, I'm seeing families out walking, bike riding. There's kind of a new connection there. But we're going to need to be able to communicate with each other about what has happened in some ways. I feel it's very important. Of course, Liberty Toastmasters has the word liberty in that. Liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. And we have seen kind of some real interesting things happen regarding PBIs, kind of maybe, in my opinion, maybe, I'm not going to say in my opinion, they are overstepping their power. And instead of being angry about it, we're going to need to be able to draw pictures of what has happened so that we can protect this liberty that is inherent in the American idea, Brad.
I agree. And one of the things that I mentioned earlier, you know, if somebody has a smile on your face, usually they're approachable. If they have a scowl, if they are looking down at their feet, or they're just, you know, they have a certain aura about around them, you tend not to approach. I talk to everybody. If I'm in line, now social distancing, 6 feet away. But, you know, if you're in the neighborhood or if you're somewhere, and we will get back to a different normal, but when you're talking to people and you're smiling, you're approachable. A front porch allows people to approach. I've done a lot of walking in my neighborhood for being a precinct committee person, and whether I work for candidates or a public policy issue. And it amazes me how many people have porches that are either unkept or just dirty, or they, as I mentioned before, they'll pull into the garage and they never even go to the front of their house. Mm-hmm. And you see old newspapers and mail and stuff all over the place. And you wonder, gosh, are they taking care of their house, or do they ever look at the front? And it's like a storekeeper with a store. They always come into the back. And they never come in the front and see what the customer wants. Well, public speaking is often like that. You have to be approachable. You have to be friendly. You have to have humor. And I don't mean a joke, but you have to almost be self-effacing sometimes. You have to have a little quip in there that allows people to relax, because once we laugh, we relax. And when we relax, we open up to ideas and to people. And so one of the things we teach people in Toastmasters is a simple structure of a story, how to write, how to edit, how to listen. Toastmasters is a lot of listening. We even have roles, as you know, for evaluators. We evaluate people's speaking skills, not their speech. We evaluate how they use the stage, how they approach with eye contact and body gestures, vocal variety, things of this nature, how they're dressed, how they approach people, just like a front porch. Is if they're dressed in a way that is approachable, it's great. If they're disheveled, you kind of go, I don't know about them today. Maybe they're not, didn't have their coffee
having
this
a good
morning.
Day.
Yeah. So it's very similar to that. And what's wonderful in our particular clubs, both in Denver and Longmont, is we theme our meetings every month around the ideas of individual rights, limited government, and to be active and engaged citizens. And this is something that everybody can come and participate in. It's not about politics. It's about public policy and ideas. And I love the idea that you can come there, bring your A game, and talk, listen, and learn from friends, because you do become friends in this club.
And we don't always agree.
No.
I would say yes. Yes, most definitely we are friends. Now, in this environment now, would you please explain to our listeners about how we're meeting? And certainly guests are welcome. It's a little trickier since we're not meeting in person. But explain how people can connect with Liberty Toastmasters.
Well, right now we are practicing social distancing. And so we're meeting virtually online. And if somebody's interested, they can direct message us. They can find us at libertytoastmasters.org. There's a club in Denver that meets the first and third Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. The one in Longmont meets the second and fourth. And so now that we're virtual, people can chime in from all over the state if they like to. Eventually, we'll go back to being in person. But right now, we are meeting online, and it is just like a regular Toastmasters. You just have to get used to the platform that we're using, like everybody else. And so lighting's important, sound is important, a backdrop is important, and it really helps people communicate. And especially now when you have a lot more business meetings online, It is amazing to see how people set up their cameras and what they do. They don't realize they're on camera, so you learn a little bit more aware of your surroundings. And so we practice this now just virtually, and we'd use all the same structure and the same format, and we have all the same roles that we would have in a regular meeting when we meet face-to-face.
And how can people find us?
They can direct message us either our websites. There's Liberty Toastmasters Denver or Liberty Toastmasters Longmont, or they can go to the international website, toastmastersinternational.org, type in our name, or they can Google us or whatever platform they use and search engine and find us, both in Longmont and Denver. And it's Liberty Toastmasters, either Denver or Longmont.
Okay. And last question, Brad Beck, and that is I know that you read a lot. What book would you recommend that people get and read while they are social distancing, staying at home?
Well, one book that I love and I'm rereading it again is Thinker Toys by Michael Mihalko. And it's a handbook for business creativity, but just creativity in general. And it takes a variety of tasks and exercises, and it gives you a way of thinking. I read about a page or two a day,
okay,
and in the morning, and it gets me just my creative juices going, because I like to do, as one of my mentors says, I get up and I read, I write, I prepare for the day, then I'm able to think and create. And the great Kittimer says that, and I love doing it every day.
Okay. Well, I love that, Brad Beck. Thank you so much, and be sure we're going to have that posted here later today, your op-ed. So thanks so much, and have a great day.
You too, Kim. Thanks.
Okay. Our quote for today is John Saras. He says, sitting on your front porch is like sitting at the boundary of heaven and earth. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.